pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk on 106, FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Joey Clark coming up in about a half hour. Also, in about an hour and a half, we'll have John Wall. He's candidate for lieutenant governor. So make sure you stick around for that. Recap the news here. It's election mania. It's just, hey, I get it. There's a United States Senate seat up for grabs. And that's what we are. That's what we're discussing. You just heard Jared Hudson. He said he doesn't know if Barry Moore is a veteran. And when he was asked, Barry Moore gave a very word salad sort of response. I'll say this. My friend Dale Jackson, you hear him here Mondays on FM Talk 106.5. He's an Army veteran. I think he was an E5 when he left. And he called me yesterday. He thinks this is settled. And that the Moore team had really bungled this in their explanation, but he is satisfied that Barry Moore is a veteran. And let me explain. That Barry Moore joined the National Guard, went through basic training. That checks the box. Where the confusion lies is that when he went to Auburn University, he joined the ROTC program as a cadet. He was still training with his National Guard unit, but he was also a cadet at Auburn. So two things going on, and somehow or another along the way they got conflated. Now, where the timeline is a little confusing for some people, that he claimed to have 6-year service at one point, but he was counting IRR, reserve service. Does that count in the total tally of service? But the point is that, yes, under the technical definition, and this is the Dale Jackson sleuthing here, he is a veteran. That where we're having the discrepancy may be in the length, but if you tally it up from National Guard service all the way through the point of when he was discharged, when it was completed, there was a discharge in between. It totals up to 8 years. Does that do it for you? Does that answer the question? It's not something I've, you know, really spent a lot of time thinking about to understand it enough. But that has become like the central focus of these last stages of this campaign. And, based on what I'm hearing, that there is a lot of momentum for Jared Hudson right now in the Senate race, but Barry Moore is still in the lead position. The question is, does that momentum carry through to Tuesday, and will it be enough momentum in time for Jared Hudson to pull it out? And he's going to have to pad it because, as we've said, as has been proven time and time and time again, polling for Barry Moore is always low relative to what his outcome is, his final vote tally. Ask Jerry Carl that. Ask Jeff Coleman that. Ask anybody who's ran against him in the past. That's what happens. At least in Wiregrass, and at least as long as we've been under this congressional map, he has underpolled. does that translate to and also in this statewide Senate election, he underpolled. Does that translate it to a low turnout event, Republican runoff? And where you got to look at this, guys, there's some places in Alabama just are not going to show up to vote. And some places in Alabama are going to show up at a higher percentage than the others. And the surveys, I've always had this critique about polling in Alabama, especially if you look at like what's been out there right now. Birmingham gets overpolled. Why? Because they believe that people in Birmingham will, that's where the flux of the population is. It's always been that way. And the way these pollsters do it, some will do it by congressional district. Some will do it by media market. Some won't do any of that and break it down at all. They'll just run a random survey of people and say, hey, this is what we found. But the state's very tribal like that. That the weather may be nice in Mobile, but it may be raining in Coleman or Florence or somewhere like that. And you never can really quite pinpoint it. And why, I mean, you all, well, there's a margin of error there, of course, but the margin of error needs to be a lot bigger, I believe, in a low turnout event. And I've said this is sort of a Jeff Poor Show 101. In a low turnout election, it's less about the percentages and more about the raw vote totals. Do you think you could get 1,000 extra voters out in Etowah County? Do you think you could get 1,000 extra voters out in this precinct or in this market than you did in this county than your opponent? I mean, do you just need to knock on a few more doors here and maybe that's what you need to do to bolster your chances? Do you need to get this person? They voted for you in the primary, but they're not as engaged now. They think it's all behind them in the rearview mirror. Can you count on them to show up? Can you count on your voters who voted for you in the primary to show up in the runoff a month later? Didn't we just do this? I just already voted for that guy. Do I need to go vote for him again? I mean, there's a little bit of that attitude about it. And trying to determine what is a likely voter, a likely Republican primary runoff voter, is difficult because a lot of people, they'll respond to surveys, but they'll say they're undecided. And maybe they truly are undecided. They won't decide until they sit down and fill out the ballot. But there's a good chance that undecided voter is like, well, I haven't had time to think about it. I'm just going to take a pass on this one. 251-343-0106. DI Texter, Hudson should leave the flawed theology at the door, but I will be voting for him on Tuesday. You didn't vote in the Democrat primary? DI Texter? Or you didn't vote in the Democrat primary? So just a word of warning, you Democrat voters out there, you can't vote in the Republican runoff. If you voted in the Democrat primary, you're ineligible to vote in Republican runoff by law. Which is something, you know, that may have determined the outcome. And that's now off the table. Because a lot of Democrat voters will go out and vote against a Barry Moore. As you see from DEI Texter there. And we had unprecedented Democrat turnout last month. And that took a lot of the vote that may cross over off the table. They text her, give Iran one more warning, sign the deal, or hell will rain down. Oh, you're captured all video. The Ellis version of Glory, Glory, Hallelujah playing in the background would be awesome. For an E6 ROTC cadet to claim to be a staff sergeant is grossly disingenuous at best. That's from Pete. And Pete also writes, Moore is a veteran based on having gone through boot camp, but he should have to answer these questions. How did he make it E6 in 6 years? If he was an E6 as an ROTC candidate, why was he not commissioned? If he was an ROTC E6 candidate, why has he represented himself as a staff sergeant? With only 6 years, why has he represented him as a staff sergeant retired? So on that, has he represented himself as a staff sergeant anywhere else besides on that letter about Tim Walz? That's the question. Jason, the Moore video where he portrays this an attack on Alabama National Guard is weak and a huge turnoff. A lot of people took it that way, Jason. And you obviously didn't, but a lot of people, that's the framing of it. Here you have this badass Navy SEAL, and then you have the guy who was in the National Guard, and a lot of people, it wasn't me personally, when we first started talking about this issue, said, why is Jared Hudson denigrating Barry Moore's National Guard service? So, Tony, the way I look at it, if you're obligated to the federal government because you signed up for service and you completed your term, whatever the service may be, you're a veteran of service. You may not be a veteran of a foreign war if you were never deployed, so that would be the only distinction. He is, the problem for Barry Moore is he's died off of this. And you could go back over the last couple elections and didn't, you know, conservative veteran Barry Moore in hearings. I mean, he would sit in these hearings and he did a lot of work for veterans. But did he embellish his service? And he claims not to have. They lay all this out for us. And it really, to me, like, we could debate the merits of this, and I think, Pete, you're probably the guy I needed to ask all along. But I guess what really matters when all this is said and done is, does this impact voters? Does this change the vote? Is this going to change anything from this point forward? The way people are going to vote. In other words, is Barry Moore losing votes because of this, and is Jared Hudson gaining votes because of it? And I don't know. We tend as the state to be very keenly focused. Those who do are engaged in politics are watching what's going on in the Carmelo Anthony trial, Donald Trump at the Knicks game. Or if you're really a glutton for punishment, you're really really geeked up about the World Cup. And they're not really thinking at this level of politics. And furthermore, maybe they'll vote. Are they really paying attention to this back and forth over this one particular issue enough to really change the outcome of this election? G from L.A. It does satisfy my question about Barry Moore's service, but I am still voting for Jared Hudson. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Wichita, London is still on the line. I know I'm leaving on that midnight. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. Coming up in the next segment, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1. DI texter, to you, anyone less than right-wing lunatic is a Democrat. If anyone called a Democrat was a Democrat in the state, it would be Dick Blue. I bet Dean Young calls you a Democrat, LOL. You missed a point, DI texter. I'll watch my mouth there. You're a Democrat by virtue of voting in a Democrat primary, so you're not eligible to run in a Republican. You're not eligible to vote in a Republican runoff. It's nothing to do with what Jeff Poore calls you, but you are definitely a left-winger, and you definitely are a Democrat. But for the sake of this discussion, I know this is a hard one. Legally, you cannot vote in the Republican primary runoff if you voted in a Democrat primary. That is in statute. You are a Democrat. For the sake of this election, for the sake of this election cycle, you voted in a Democrat primary. You are therefore defined a Democrat until the runoff is over. Then you are free to vote however you choose in the general election, but you're not eligible to vote in the Republican primary runoff. Thank you for listening. Sam, are we voting for who has better military service or who will embody our philosophy? We have more record. We can't lose with either. Fire Dog, when you sign up to go to boot camp and you're in the Guard, whether you're in college or not, just realize that if a war broke out, congressmen and more would have been called up. Now, this is a distinction looking worth noting. So in my view, he is a vet. Well, I had to get that question there. I mean, I guess Jared Hudson came on Sean's show yesterday called 1819 News pro Barry Moore. It's totally uncalled for. If I'd known that, I would have taken a different approach there. But this was raised. Well, I'll just tell you what happened here. This was raised by someone maybe not directly affiliated with Jared Hudson's campaign, but days, about a week or so after the primary, I get this oppo shot to us. And we get it. And it's a question. It's like, well, did they send us some audio? There were some questions planted along the way to set Barry Moore up for this moment. Was he embellishing his military service? And the questions were there was a forum in Gunnersville, and there was a radio interview. And the questions were, to me, they sounded like they were set up. Well, will you release your DD-214s? And Congressman Morrow said, well, if I could find them. Apparently the records were burned up in a fire or something is what they had claimed. So nonetheless, the predicate was laid there. And then the question becomes, well, this is what you said. Back it up. And then it got bungled. And then where it really got me, and it's the same question I asked Jared Hudson, like, well, what do you think? I don't know. But your guys are the ones who are sending us this stuff. How are you trying to have it both ways here? Do you believe he is or he isn't? So they clearly want this to be an issue that you decided your vote on. Why is that so hard to say? Hey, I actually served. I did my duty. I had a distinguished military career. I was in rarefied air. It is very difficult to do what I had done. Why not just say that? I don't know. But this is, if you're going to win this or lose this election and make that the issue, then do it and own it. I don't believe that Barry Moore is a veteran, or I believe he is. He's been embellishing his service. Why is it like pulling hen's teeth? Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Now, Now if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I
promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. Now it won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Trying to get in touch with Joey Clark here on the program, but he'll be with us any moment now. Also on the show, we'll hear from John Wall. You know him from his times as the Alabama Republican Party chairman, but he is also running to be the lieutenant governor against Wes Allen. We hosted a debate, moderated a debate the other night up in Montgomery, and I thought both candidates did pretty well, but we can get into that later in the show. We'll get through some text here while we wait on to see if we get Joey here on the line. Joey, do we have you?
Yeah, sorry about that, Jeff.
That's all right. Construction
going on at the house.
That's fine. That's fine. It's all good. Well, we're going to get some text. We'll save those for later. Joey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks for coming on. Are you ready for this election to be over?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Especially after the debates, which you did a great job on. Good job on that. The debates, to me, it's getting too personal down as we're coming to the closing of this. And let's just vote already.
Well, I just we'll start with the AG race. And does anybody care about the dark money stuff?
I don't. I mean, I'm like, if that's the name of the game, then change the rules. But people are going to use those rules.
Yeah, it's just you're trying to engineer an issue, trying to make an issue out of it. I don't think that's going to win you the race. And I wish we would kind of steer away from that at this point. It was fine like a year ago when they were doing this. Now it's very tedious.
And if you're focusing on like a particular interest group, like the out-of-state gambling and that, it's one thing where you start noticing the interest, but when you're attacking a particular candidate, it's like, okay, what exactly are we saying here? Because if people are following the law and following the rules, I'm just not sure. It just brings up more suspicion without any clarity, and that's not that useful. Though that's the name of the game at this point, where attacking identity and attacking, just sowing suspicion for the undecided out there. So they're more undecided about one candidate over the other.
Yeah. And how many votes could that be worth though? Like, I can't imagine more than a half dozen, you know, like, oh, this guy took dark money. I don't know about this guy. Well, this guy took, but no one cares, guys. It's like winning the debate trophy over how your campaign is financed and not the election.
And I thought a lot of it comes down during the debates, like it's just focused on AG race. I think Jay Mitchell is a very competent, probably great guy, but Catherine Robertson shined as a messenger, as just somebody who's able to deliver what she thinks, what her story is, what she hopes to do. And doesn't mean she's perfect, but I thought she just did a much better job in that setting. And as you go down the line, I think a lot of the differences are just that, maybe with the Senate being an exception, plus we didn't get a real debate, but I'd noticed that same with the lieutenant governor's race, that I think John Wall's a much more natural communicator, though Wes Allen came across to me as just a solid, good dude, seemed a little nervous at times in some of his delivery.
Well, there's something that, about that on Monday night. There was like a nervousness to it. I didn't know what to make of that because I don't know why you would be, maybe I just been doing this for so long but being nervous in a debate, it kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah. And just to reiterate, not just to give you like a thought, but you did a good job. It helped explain to your audience. You asked straight to the point, quick questions, and then got out of the way and then allowed them a little bit of back and forth on one of the debates, but you got out of the way, let them talk, and I don't know why they were nervous, because it wasn't like there's any gotcha or any setups.
And all of these people, even Wes Allen, have been on this show numerous times. And in fact, I'd say, you know, John Wall has witnessed me moderating. He has, Actually, John Wall probably was the least nervous up there, and I don't know. Right. But he has been in already two debates this year that I moderated, this cycle, I guess. Then I guess Jared was in one at the Eastern Shore Republican Women, but there was just this, but he didn't even, I didn't even interact with him. But there was a tension in that room. I thought it's like, I mean, you know, at this point, why are you still sweating this?
I think it has less to do with the bright lights of Montgomery Performing Arts Center and more to do with it's coming down to crunch time. And I feel like some of these folks are so in their own heads at this moment, especially with the negative attack ads, that it's almost like you're overcoached when you go into a game and you're right. Not just letting it flow.
Well, I see this about Wes Allen, and I've watched you during this cycle. I thought he had a good night. The Forrester stuff was a little out of left field. But other than that, I thought he is much improved at this point today than he was, say, a year ago.
Yeah, no, I thought Wes was great, other than, like, there were moments where you could tell he's trying to remember what to say. But, like, it was more after the debate. He's just kind of a solid guy. Like, easy to talk to for a second.
He's just a normal dude. He'll talk whatever. He knows what you're interested in. So he obviously started talking to me about baseball or whatever. But, like, it's a guy that he's not just making it up. I mean, this kid played junior college ball, and he went to all his games. You're right. There's more of a relatability thing going on there with Secretary Allen. I just wish his consultant would let him be himself and not try to put him in this box.
Amen. Yeah, and I think that has been the problem of the campaign. And I'll just be straight up. Wes has been on the show as Secretary of State a few times on my show, and I never heard from them this whole cycle. I'm like, why? I don't do gotcha. You know me, Jeff. I don't do gotcha interviews or real tough stuff. But it's just stuff like that where I'm like, well, why didn't y'all just reach out?
Well, this is this other thing. It's just like everybody assumes that you care enough about who's going to be in these offices that you're going to put your thumb on the scale. And maybe that's true for some. I just, you do this for so long. These guys kind of come and go. You got to let these things really play themselves out, because if you're the guy, Joe, you and I are in a unique space here. If you become the guy who's trying to, like, win or lose the election in a Republican primary setting, you kind of tarnish your own brand because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this cycle, for the first time, I've said straight up who I voted for, in retrospect, who I voted for in the primary and why. But I'm not trying to, like, twist people's arms. And I'll listen. I'll just be straight up. I voted for Barry Moore. And I told Jared Hudson that in the interview after the primary and said, but sell me. Like, I'm not going to stop you. Like, here's your time to shine. Because I think there are a lot of people in my listening audience that know Barry for a long time. So, you know, try to reach us. And I think you can be very fair and very straightforward without trying to – the gotcha stuff is – it's an old school game. Yeah. And there have been radio hosts that have made
I just don't know.
Good money and good attention with it, but I don't love it.
Me personally, I don't know what I could do any different. Like, the Barry guys think we're all in for Jared, and the Jared guys think we're all in for Barry. And then just it's fine. That's just the nature of the business we're in. But it's totally, totally baseless.
Well, I was straight up with my audience yesterday after the debate thinking about it. I think the toughest decision, because you can vote for all sorts of reasons. If you know the person forever, like, I mean, that's a pretty good reason, honestly, to vote for anybody if you know them and trust them on a personal basis. And there are all sorts of other things. Maybe it's a single issue that person's great on. But when they're so alike, it really starts to get difficult. And in particular, the Senate race, they've made themselves so alike. I think they're pretty good. For me, it comes down to hard-boiled politics, and I'll say it straight up. Not just Senator Britt, not just Katie, but the networks and relationships and interests in the state that say that name represents. I don't think they should be allowed to get everything. Now, they're talented enough, and they want to play to win. They might pull it off. But I would like to see more of what we have with Shelby's in Sessions.
We had a great balance, yeah. And it's the same with Tuberville and Katie, right? That it's right. That.
You don't want to keep that going.
You got somebody who's really into the business of the Senate and knows how and plays the game very well and represents the state to the best of their abilities. But then you add somebody, you still got to have that, like, ideological person who is like, hey, I'm not going to, like, horse trade for money for the Port of Mobile or whatever, I'm going to tell you that we need to do something about welfare reform, or we need to do something about illegal immigration. And I'm going to use my time and my energy and my focus on that.
Yeah, and it is very hardboard politics to me. That dynamic's great in the Senate. I want to keep that. But then also, let's just say if there's a certain machine in the state and they get everything they want, I don't think that's healthy for Alabama. Now, they might. They might pull it off because they are that good at it. But
the machine's got it pretty good in this state. You know, like, the machine exists.
It does.
And they get most of what they want. They got a new public service commission. They try to sell us on George Soros interference or whatever, but they get these people generally get what they want, you know?
And so you don't get the second Senate seat is my point of view.
Yeah. And I don't know. That's what's not clear to me. Now, I hear it from all these guys. There's a lot of noise. Is Jared Hudson really is he really the boy? You know, is he really their guy? Because I would have thought their guy probably, if you're looking for that, would have been more aligned with like a Steve Marshall or something.
I would have thought so from the get-go. But I asked, you know, Jared straight up, because he was hitting Clarks for more, as he should, that he's a career politician. He's been up there. So what's changed? I'm like, that's a good hit. But you're an outsider, but there's downsides to being an outsider. Like, you don't know where the bathroom is. And so you don't get tricked, who are you going to rely on? And Jared very forcefully and forthrightly said, Senator Britt.
Oh.
I'm really going to rely on Senator Britt. And so I'm like, well, there you go. Whereas Congressman Moore told me, Katie's got her lane, and she's good at her lane, and she stays in her lane, I'll stay in my lane.
Well, there are other senators that Jared Hudson could rely on besides Katie Britt, right?
Yep.
You know?
But I thought that was an interesting answer. I'm like, okay.
Well, we'll see. Where do you think this goes in the end?
I think Barry squeaks it out. Just to be blunt, though, I think they are in their own heads. A lot of these late attacks, I think, are chewing away at some. But I think the Trump endorsement holds here.
Yeah, because there's going to be a couple of shoes to drop here. We know that I guess Club for Growth is going to come in with $5 million for Barry and run either attack ads against Jared or pro-Barry Moore or Donald Trump Power Rangers ads, seems to be the brand now for these third party groups. And then I think the night before the election on Monday night, Donald Trump will do a robocall. And everybody who's ever attended a Trump rally is on any Republican list that has their cell number at some point on Monday evening. You'll be getting a phone call. It'll be a recording, but it'll be your favorite president calling you to tell you to vote for John Wall and Barry Moore.
And I'm sure it's like one of the way down the list on President Trump's mind of all the stuff he's got on his mind. But I'm sure if he's reminded of it, he doesn't want to have to kiss the ring of the Alabama machine again like he did last cycle.
No. You're right. But that's what did it, I think, was we don't talk enough about May 19th and what we think will happen on Tuesday. But May 19th, John Wall and Barry Moore outperformed expectations, and you got to try to figure out why, and I think that had a lot to do with it.
And then I think on the AG's race, Catherine Robertson gets over the top of that one, too.
I bet it's a little closer, but I think because Casey threw her support behind Mitchell, that's probably with a few points to tighten it up, but you're probably right. I don't know. That one is that one had the biggest gap of all. But
I thought that was the most vigorous debate and Monday night. But I don't know. That's just my gut. I could be wrong about this. And to your earlier point, nobody should be crying over whoever wins. I think
Brian Dawson
made the point at the debate that we got a bunch of good conservatives here, and we're really, you know, we're having to find distinctions because that's what you do in these sort of runoff elections. But I think we're in a good spot as a state.
Do you believe Barry? I asked this of Jared. Do you believe Barry Moore is a veteran?
Yes. I think that's a little.
I think he silly. Is. Yeah, but that's what we're talking about, and we're gonna like laugh at this a month from now. Man, that stuff did not matter. No one cared about that. I'm too wrapped up in the talk radio world, and I get caught up in these news cycles, and it turned out not to be really a thing.
Yeah, I think it's like when saying Steve Marshall's weak on crime. I'm like, give me a break.
Okay, yeah. And then they, I mean, they did a number on him, though. But his campaign, it lost steam when that Trump endorsement came down. And for whatever reason, it's remarkable, Joey, that Trump endorsement comes down, Barry Moore gets it, and some reason Jared Hudson turns on the afterburners, and then it just Steve Marshall just peters out.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a perfect storm, and it's not looking great for the momentum, at least for say a Wes Allen or a Steve Marshall, like the statewide incumbents. They, you know, seem to be sitting in a great spot as this all began a while back. But yeah, it seems like the national aspects of politics still play big.
Well, you and I, 2 years ago, would have thought at this point we'd be talking about Tommy Tuberville getting back to the Senate, Will Ainsworth being governor, and then I don't know what from there. You know, we always knew Wes was going to run for lieutenant governor. We didn't know. We had suspicion Catherine was going to run for AG, but, Jay Mitchell was sitting on the Alabama Supreme Court. So, like, everything we talked about, like, this time 2 years ago, right after the end of the Trump 24 election, a lot of that has just gone out the window.
Oh, yeah, and I think John Wall was a bit of a surprise to some people, I think.
He'd been kind of flirting with the idea, but I never took it seriously until we saw the Trump True Social.
Exactly, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, like you're jumping for party chairman. Like, it's funny just finding the different perches where you can have your attack vector and go for a different office. And it changes over time. And the Trump thing is the closing factor. And real quick on the veteran thing with Barry Moore, it's one of these classic attacks from the Alabama machine where they find something. They might even have a technicality, like a narrow fact that they bring hyper attention and focus to that narrow thing. And then, so say, suspicion in somebody's mind or doubt in somebody's mind when you're missing the whole larger context and just common sense of it. And they're quite good at what they do, but
they get guys like Jeff Poore to take the bait, and here we are. So, hey, Joe, if folks want to find you online, where can they do look?
At the Joey Clark on X or Joey Clark Live on YouTube.
Joey Clark, ladies and gentlemen, Joey, we'll do it again soon.
Appreciate you.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Spend my dollar, park and holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving, a little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life, oh so right, my Dixieland delight.
More, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. We'll hear from John Wall in the next hour running for lieutenant governor. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. DI Texter, I always vote for Republican, just for at least crazy one, which means no bias. Hey, you're technically a Republican. Congratulations. By definition of the state of Alabama, you are a Republican. How do you feel about that? Hey, we'll start a GoFundMe for D.I. Texter and get him some kind of gold medal inscribed with, I am a loyal Republican voter. Let's see, unnamed Texter, close all the tunnels, great Shamari. You're talking about Shamari figures, closing those tunnels and really what happened there. Representative Figures, who I think is totally out to lunch on this, is talking about securing funding for tunnel removal from the Mobile River. And not just the Bankhead Tunnel, but the Wallace Tunnels as well. but it's part of a like a nationwide effort where there are tunnels, I guess submerged tunnels. You have a lot of them up north. Remove those and replace them with bridges. That they're deteriorating, and it was brought up, but it drew a lot of backlash from especially people listening to this station. But my understanding after doing a little homework on this, that that will be taken care of, is what I was told. Don't worry about the Bankhead Tunnel, or at least don't worry about the Wallace Tunnel being removed anytime soon. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.